Krishne,
Krishne,
Lord Krishna,
Lord Krishna,
Gathe,
Gathe,
having departed from this world,
having departed from this world,
Bhagavati,
Bhagavati,
the personality of Godhead,
the personality of Godhead,
Shastari,
Shastari,
supreme ruler,
supreme ruler,
Upata Gamina,
Upata Gamina,
of those who are upstarts,
of those who are upstarts.
Tadbina, being separated. Setun,
protector.
Adhya,
today.
Aham,
myself.
Shashmi,
shall punish.
Pashyata,
just see.
Me,
mine.
Balam,
prowess.
Translation. After the departure of Lord Krishna, the personality of Godhead and the supreme ruler of everyone, these upstarts have flourished, our protector being gone. Therefore, I myself shall take up this matter and punish them. Just witness my power. Translation responsively. After the departure of Lord Krishna,
the personality of Godhead
and the supreme ruler of everyone,
these upstarts have flourished,
our protector being gone.
Therefore, I myself
shall take up this matter
and
punish them.
Just witness my power.
Before by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. The inexperienced Brahmana, puffed up by a little Brahma Tejas, became influenced by the spell of Kali Yuga. Maharaj Parikshit gave license to Kali to live in four places as mentioned herein before. But by his expert government, the personality of Kali could hardly find a place allotted to him. The personality of Kali Yuga, therefore, was seeking the opportunity to establish authority. And by the grace of the Lord, he found a hole in the puffed up, inexperienced son of a Brahmana. The little Brahmana wanted to show his prowess in destruction, and he had the audacity to punish such a great king as Maharaj Parikshit. He wanted to take the place of Lord Krishna after his departure. These are the principal signs of upstarts who want to take the place of Krishna under the influence of the age of Kali. An upstart with a little power wants to become an incarnation of the Lord. There are many false incarnations after the departure of Lord Krishna from the face of the globe, and they are misleading the innocent public by accepting the spiritual obedience of the general mass of people to maintain false prestige. In other words, the personality of Kali got the opportunity to reign through this son of a Brahmana, Sringi. Omagyana timirandasya gananjana shalakya chakshura militam yena tasmai shri guru namaha nama om vishnu padaya krishna prasthaya bhutale shrimati hridayananda goswami niti namine nama om vishnu padaya krishna prasthaya bhutale shrimati bhakti vedanta swami niti namine namaste saraswati devam gauravani pacharine evisesha shunyavadi pashkatsade satarine Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. So Sringi, the young Brahmana boy, took it upon himself to act on behalf of Krishna. That's a pretty big role to fulfill. You could say he was a little bit puffed up. Actually, he was a Brahmana boy. He wasn't a demoniac personality. He wasn't evil as such. He was just really deluded, misguided. And he was a devotee of sorts, and he was just affected by anger because he saw this thing happen to his father. It was a mistake, but he acted rashly. And this young, puffed up little boy was riddled with pride. He was full of pride. Hari Bol, how are you? Good to see you. He was riddled with pride and had a high opinion of himself, thinking, well, I have to act now that, the Lord has left. Now I have to take over. I'll punish this person, But he was referring to Maharaj Parikshit, who was such a great soul, great saintly personality, but he was still hell-bent on practicing his Brahma Tejas, his little bit of power, and causing havoc to this great personality, inflicting great violence on him. Now, he may have been upset about the situation with his father, and he may have been angry, but by his rash decision, he became an agent of Kali. So Kali saw, here's a person who's lost control, let me pop in and use this situation for my own ends. So ultimately, although he was seemingly the agent of Kali, he was also similarly the agent of Krishna. Because by this mistake that he made, we have the Srimad Bhagavatam. By this mistake that he made, we have the Srimad Bhagavatam. So Krishna can actually use everything for the greater good of humanity. Now the thing with Sringi is that he acted without any sort of consultation. He didn't in any way ask his father or his superiors, or his. He didn't go to the Shastras, he didn't go to the Guru, he didn't do anything. He just made up his mind, that's it. You've offended my father, I'm going to act. So this is... He acted immediately. He acted rashly. He acted wrongly. This is the thing with the danger of acting rashly and compulsively, just all of a sudden acting on a whim. And we actually, from this story of Sringi, we can learn a lesson that before we act out of anger, we have to actually just calm down and take a synopsis of the situation and act after getting proper advice. Sometimes, you know, we may have a complaint, even within our society, about how a certain thing is being done. Perhaps we're not in agreement with something. And so often we see nowadays that someone will email off a complaint. How could you do this? You know, this was my service and somebody's taken my service and he's not qualified, blah, 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 blah. And the email goes out. And then after a while you have to think about it and think, oh God, what have I done? There's no recalling an email when you go click, it's gone. And so we have to be really mindful, you know. Unfortunately, we can't retrieve an email, we can't retrieve those thoughts. So we have to act very coolly and calmly. So either we may think something is not wrong with our society, something is wrong with our society, or something is wrong with a particular situation in our service. It's best that we use the consultative process first. Okay, we may be upset about something, someone may have taken your service, someone may have done something to offend you or something, but take a little bit of time. Consult with your God brothers and sisters, consult with the Shastras, take some time to cool down, and you'll see invariably that by doing that sort of a process, you'll actually feel a lot more content and you can actually rectify the situation a lot easier. So this is the lesson that we can learn from Sringi. Don't make a rash decision. Obviously, there are times that we have to make an immediate decision. If there's a car accident or something, it's not like, now, shall I help this person or shan't I help this person? You have to act immediately if there's an accident. But in most cases, we have to consult, we have to think, we have to cool down, we have to act rationally and have to consult with various different people. So often, in a managerial position also, we find that either the temple president or the GBC or the guru gets criticism thrown at them. And this criticism, this attack, is like Sringi in a sense. It has an effect. When you actually verbally criticize someone or chastise someone or feel that they've done something wrong, that actually affects that person. Even they may say, well, it doesn't, it does. The subtle effects of criticism affect a person, physically even, mentally and physically. So we have to be really careful in our dealings with one another as to how we actually approach one another. We cannot just wholeheartedly criticize someone or condemn someone because it has an effect. And these people in authority, our temple presidents, our GBCs, our senior devotees, who are having to make decisions for us, and they are consulting with their superiors, they're consulting with the Shastra, to make a decision for a big community, sometimes it may not be exactly suited to what you want. But if you criticize, and you let that person know of your criticism, it will affect them and hurt them. And this is not the mood of a devotee. This is not the mood of a Vaishnava. So, you know, it's also said that, you know, Sringi acted under the mode of Kali, under Kali's direction. But in actual fact, it's in a sense fulfilled Krishna's plan. So even in our society, over the years, we've seen so many mistakes, real big mistakes made by some of our leaders and some of the devotees. We all know about these different things. In ignorance, in immaturity, some decisions were made, and consequently a wrong decision was made, and even a negative decision was made. And you could say in a sense that they were also influenced by Kali. But in the end, those mistakes are being rectified or have been rectified for the betterment of the movement, of Srila Prabhupada's movement. And the movement carries on and moves on in a positive way. So Krishna uses everything. Krishna can use someone's foolishness even to actually make his movement stronger and stronger. So we can see that factually. When Bhakti and I were in Europe, we were really, in a sense, dismayed in the way the preaching is going on. By the way, we are so fortunate to be here in Australia, preaching in Australia, because this is such a fertile ground for preaching. And it's just such a wonderful opportunity to spread Krishna consciousness in Australia. In Europe, because of mistakes that were made in the past, the devotees are finding it very hard to get a solid footing in Krishna consciousness, to establish the preaching. At one stage they were moving very, very strongly in preaching, and then because of various difficulties and ignorance and immaturity of some of the different devotees, it's declined. Devotees have left, temples are being shut, and so on and so forth. So they're virtually having to start all over again. All over again. And now they've got the added difficulty of people feeling that the devotees are still some sort of a cult. They're not really together. You know, they're unorganized. Whereas in Australia, I mean, I don't think there's anyone that considers the Hare Krishna movement now as a cult. It's a bona fide Vaishnava Hindu religion, and so on and so forth. So they have a lot to do still in Europe. There's still a lot of work to be done. But they're making the necessary steps. And they're not making the same mistakes that they made in the past. They're communicating with people. They're doing more of the basic sort of things that we've done for a long, long time. And one of the major things that we've done here in Australia to make us so popular with the community is prasadam distribution. At the European conference, they were asked, Bhakti and I were guests at the European Communications Conference, and they asked us to give a synopsis or a summary of what goes on here in Australia. Well, honestly, all the different leaders from Europe, their mouths were open, you know, and I was explaining how we do the yoga and urban yoga, and we do the prasadam distribution, and we have crossways, and we've got the temples, and we've got something like 20 restaurants throughout Australia where people come, you know, and we have crossways, and they serve around about 300 people. Gopal's in the same place as 200. Pratapana has his thing in Sydney and so on. And we have catering all over Australia where we serve prasadam to young people at mass folk festivals and music festivals, and on it goes. And these guys were just, you know, like, huh? That's all happening there? And one of them said, you know, I don't know why we go on with any more communications. We can't top that, you know. It was just such a wonderful thing. So we really have to be appreciative of what we have here. It's an amazing opportunity to push on the preaching. Not that that's enough. We've got to do a lot more, but what I'm saying is that we're in such a great position to a springboard to even greater things that we can do. So they have to, in a sense, pick up the ball and make advancement and changing. And that's happening. That's happening. You know, they're enthusiastic young devotees that are taking on the mission of Srila Prabhupada, and it's moving, progressing, which is a wonderful thing. So we're in this material world forgetful of our real position. We all know that. We're all trapped in this material world. We're spirit souls caught up in this material body. That's a key thing. Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda came to liberate us. They came to teach us by their own example, Vairagya Vidhi, to be detached from material nature. So in humility, we address Lord Chaitanya as Mahaprabhu. He is the great Prabhu. And we address everybody else as Prabhu. Now, Prabhu means master. And it's non-gender specific. It's not that just the males are Prabhu. It's non-gender specific. It's both male and female are Prabhu. So we have to really mean that when we say that. When we mean a master, we have to actually see ourselves as a servant, master-servant relationship. So in regards to this section, the purport, Srila Prabhupada describes those individuals that mislead the innocent. And in regards to that, he gave a class in 1975 in Alachua, where he said, those people that take on the role of religious leaders within our society for the specific purpose to cause havoc in society will be sent to the worst hell imaginable, the worst kind of hell. Prabhupada explains this because in this last purport, Prabhupada is explaining those people that there are many false incarnations after the departure of Lord Krishna from the face of the globe, and they misleading the innocent public by accepting spiritual obedience of the general mass. So yes, we know all the various sadhus that have come out proclaiming that they are Krishna, and they can produce some ash or some gold trinket or something and claim all of a sudden they're Krishna. But apart from that, there are also other spiritual leaders that are also upsetting the world balance under the guise of religious leaders. And I'm not talking about specifically Hindu leaders, but there are other spiritual leaders throughout the world that are causing great havoc in the world. All of us that are aware of the news are aware of the constant fighting that's happening in the Muslim community. And generally the people of the Muslim faith are very, very gentle, peace-loving people. But there are people within it, religious leaders, spiritual leaders within the Muslim faith, that are generating hatred, that are generating anxiety and viciousness and anger, and for no other reason but for a political end. We've read the news about Syria where thousands and thousands and thousands of people are being killed, innocent men, women and children. You can't even look at the news to see these horrible, disfigured people that have been killed. Because of this, Prabhupada is saying these are the people that are taking over the role of Krishna, assuming the role of Krishna, and, you know, causing so much havoc. So this is happening there with the Muslims, and just yesterday I was listening to the news. And even the peace-loving Buddhists, you know, usually when you think about violence in the world, you think about the Christians and the Crusades, you think about the Muslims and the Jihad, but you never think of the little, humble little Buddhist, you know, little Buddhist just sitting there, Om Padmani Padme Hum, you know, I mean, you don't think that these are violent people. But yesterday on the news in Myanmar, formerly Burma, they're killing so many people. So that, again, under the direction of some radical fundamentalist Buddhist monks, it's insanity. They're causing havoc. They're an agent of Kali, stirring up anxiety, stirring up hatred. And so even the people that they are harassing, who are Muslim, by the way, they're running to other Buddhist temples and hiding in the temples where the good monks are, that they don't get hurt by these other radical Buddhists. So you can see it's happening all over the world. Not recently there were fighting between Christians, Protestants and Catholics and so on and so forth. And the other thing that's in the news at the moment, again, where the agents of Kali, the religious leaders of Kali, have done havoc to society, is this investigation that's going on at the moment, federal investigation, into child abuse in the different Christian denominations. So this involves thousands and thousands of young individuals that have been abused by so-called spiritual leaders, where people have put their trust in a spiritual leader, but they've acted as an agent of Kali and have abused their children. So this is now coming out in the open. Everything, there's a huge investigation, not only for the Christians, but also for all religious organizations and all organizations that have had anything to do with children. And I've already got notification that the Hare Krishna movement is also under scrutiny. Not that there's anything there, but they're looking. They're looking to find, have there been any unscrupulous leaders, religious leaders that have taken advantage of innocence? And so this is happening. So the world is driven by this self-centeredness, you know, because all this is based on self-centeredness. I'm so important. Self-centeredness and pride, like Sringi was displaying. He was very full of pride. A symptom of one captivated by material consciousness, which is a material disease, is that we have a high opinion of ourselves. We have a high opinion of ourselves. We all think, oh, I'm so much better than the next person. And Sringi thought that he was so much better than anybody else. This little Brahmin kid. I mean, really. You know, his father is there. But he felt that he was so much better than Maharaj Pariksit. Let me just chastise this guy. You know, let me just curse this person. So, this is synonymous in, unfortunately, in the caste system in India also. Very, very deep. And we have to really take that to task. Yesterday I had an opportunity to give a lecture at a school, a Catholic school, Christian Brothers College in St. Kilda. And they were year 9 students. There was about 100 of them. And I was explaining about Krishna consciousness and Hinduism and so on and so forth. And the thing that they came up with, the thing that really bugged them the most, these young kids, was the caste system. How can you justify the caste system? And so, you know, again, the caste system in India is a testament of self-centeredness. I am a Brahmana and you are a Sudra. And you can never come anywhere near me. In the purport that Prabhupada gives in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the third canto, Prabhupada says this: since India has become dependent on foreign countries, the particular influence of her social order has been lost. Now, according to the scriptures, everyone is a Sudra. The so-called Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas have forgotten their traditional activities, and in the absence of these activities, they are all called Sudras. It is said in the scriptures, Kalo Sudra Sambhava. In the age of Kali, everyone is like a Sudra. The traditional social customs are not followed in this age, although formerly they were strictly followed. So the Vaishnava culture is over and above this caste system, the Brahmanical caste system, over and above all distinctions. Simply, we understand the Vaishnava is the servant of the servant of the servant of Krishna. So this is our position. Aniruddha explained this yesterday in class about how we are simply the servants. We are simply Vaishnavas. We're not trying to achieve a Brahman position that we can lord it over someone else. We'll do the task of a Vaishya, we'll do the task of a Sudra, we'll do the task of a Kshatriya, we'll do the task of a Brahman. Whatever it takes, whatever Prabhupada wants us to do, we'll do. We'll do. A classic example of that was one time when Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj was here. As far as genuine humility, he came as the spiritual master here and he was upstairs in his room. And Jnana was doing some sort of repair work or cleaning. And out of all humility and all genuine sincerity, he said to Jnana, "Can I help you? Can I help with this?" You know, and this was the spiritual master just cleaning the floor.
He was
laying the tiles. That's right. Yeah. And he said, "Can I help you? I need to help you." So this is the example that we should see. You know, this is a very, very important thing. So like Sringvi, we have to who was an upstart with a little power. We're much the same. We have to develop our power of just being a genuine Vaishnava, develop all good qualities of a devotee. We have to develop the qualities of a devotee. And interestingly enough, one of the 26 qualities of a devotee is that a devotee is Sama. Sama. A devotee is equal to all. He sees everybody equally. And we know that verse in the Bhagavad Gita, Vidyavinaya Sampane, where the Brahmana sees everyone as an equal personality. The humble sage, by virtue of true knowledge, sees with equal vision a learned and gentle Brahmana, a cow, an elephant, a dog, and a dog eater. So an outcast. So a Vaishnava actually has no lording over propensity. He sees everyone as equal. So in the purport to that one, Prabhupada says, a Krishna conscious person does not make any distinction between species or castes. The Brahmana and the outcast may be different from a social point of view. A dog or a cow or an elephant may be from a point of view of a different species. But these different bodies are meaningless to the point of view of a learned transcendentalist. So they feel they're even equal to the dog, the cat, or whatever. Like, interestingly enough, has anybody seen this little pigeon near the rubbish bin just out here? It's at its last legs. It's dying. Has anybody seen that? And he wants to get close to the devotee. As a devotee, we don't... Oh, the dirty pigeon, why don't we just put him out the back? Somebody's actually put some prasadam near it. It's eating some prasadam and taking shelter of the rubbish bin. So from a Vaishnava point of view, we see this little living entity also as, you know, Krishna's child, with Paramatma is also present, and we feel sympathy for her. So this is an interesting point of view. This is due to their relationship to the Supreme, for the Supreme Lord, by his plenary portion as Paramatma, is present in everyone's heart. Such an understanding of the Supreme is a real knowledge. As far as the bodies are concerned in different castes or different species of life, the Lord is equally kind to everyone, because he treats every living entity, every living being, as a friend, and yet maintains himself as Paramatma, regardless of the circumstances of the living entity. So the Lord is within every living entity. A Krishna conscious person has full knowledge of this, and therefore he is truly learned and has equal vision. So we should strive to actually see the Paramatma in every living entity, not only in the human form of life, but also in the animal form of life. So something we can remember on a daily basis to overcome this pride and develop humility are some points that I mentioned. First thing is that we have to see that Krishna is superior to us. You know, Krishna is superior to us. Sringi thought that Krishna had left, like his physical body had left. How do you go, Manaji? Are you? Have a safe trip back. So good to see you. May Krishna bless you. Hare Krishna. So Krishna is superior to us. He is never far away. He may not be in our presence, but he's always there. As we just heard in Prabhupada's purport, he's within our heart as Paramatma. And he is perfect, whereas we are not. So this is Sringi was thinking that I'm now taking the role of Krishna. Krishna's perfect, my dear boy, you are not, and we are not. So we have to remember that. We've got faults, we've got problems. Krishna has a superior authority over us. Krishna owns us. This body is his. It's not ours. He owns us. And he is the authority for us. He guides and directs us. With our free will, we can choose to not serve him or whatever, but still he is our authority. We have to follow his instructions. Krishna has given us that in Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita. He's given us the direction on how to follow him. We must follow those instructions. He's our authority, as well as his representatives and elders. So we have to see that we are not alone. We have responsibilities to authorities. That's another thing that we can remember. We have to remember that Krishna wants his devotees to be a living example of his love to others. A living example of love to others. So as much as Krishna loves us, we have to the best of our abilities, show that love and give that love to others. This is the duty of a devotee. The example is a pure devotee like his divine grace Srila Prabhupada, who gave so much love for others. He risked so much of his own personal safety, his own health, his own well-being for others. You know, He took this trip at 70 years of age over the seas, you know, to help others, out of love for others. There are instances where Prabhupada, in his humility, in the early days, just showed how humble he was. He had no no self-centeredness. He had no thinking that he's better than anybody else. Like in the early days when he was living in the Bowery and around, you know, New York, there was one bathroom in the room where in the place where they stayed in 26 Seventh Avenue, and everyone would have to line up to go to the bathroom, and Prabhupada would line up with everybody else. They had no idea that they should give Brahmanas to Prabhupada and every facility to him, but he would line up with everybody else with his toothbrush and his soap and wait to go into the bathroom. He didn't say, "Excuse me, but I'm a pure devotee, I need to go first." Prabhupada was like that, so in so many ways. And every letter that Prabhupada said, "I'm your ever well wisher, I wish you well." He never had any thought about himself. He only wanted to wish you well. He only wanted the best for everyone that came in contact with him, everyone that wrote to him. So pride is an obstacle in loving others. We have to remember that. Our pride is an obstacle in loving others. If we think that somehow or other I'm better than you, you can't love that person. You can't love that person. You can only love that person if you see that person on an equal level or on a lower level. Then you can love that person. If you're puffed up and you think, "I'm so much more superior than you."
If you see that person on a higher level.
Yeah, oh, sorry, on a higher level. So, you know, you have to be able to love someone. You have to be able to come down and be humble. So this is a very important thing. So pride is an obstacle in loving someone. We have to remember that. So pride is also, we have to remember that everything you've got, everything you have, is given to you by God. Krishna has given you everything. Everything. Your intelligence, your body, your well-being, everything is being given by God. We personally, I have to remember this also, we personally are indispensable. We are dispensable. We're not indispensable. We may think that in pride we may think, "Oh, I'm indispensable. Hey, listen, no one can do this communication job better than me. You know, I've got to stay in this position." But actually Krishna can just go, "Excuse me, there's someone much better than me," and move out. So we have to always remember we are dispensable and appreciate the service that we've been given. We have to be mindful that anything we may achieve or accomplish, or any title or position that we may be given, does not entitle you to any special favour. So you may be given a particular service, or a particular title, or a particular seniority. In essence, we don't need any of that. We don't need any of that. We don't need any special favour. And we have to remember that. On a personal level, we constantly have to remember that. And that will keep us from being self-centred and full of pride. We have to be mindful not to degrade others. Not to degrade others. To cause gender slurs or racial slurs. These are all on the level of pride. You know? It's so easy to somehow say, "Oh, he's just an Australian. He's just a skip. What does he know?" Or, "They're just Indians. They have no idea of what's going on." So these slurs are also stopping us. They're also a self-centeredness and a pride. Recently, there's huge uproar about racial discrimination within our community. Racial discrimination is really deep. You know, especially at the moment with the indigenous, different people within the indigenous community, they feel really offended by certain remarks that have been made. And we have to be mindful of that. And again, this is all just showing self-centeredness within our community. So, we have to admit our own shortcomings. The other thing is, I forgot to mention also gender slurring. You know, what would a woman know? Or, "He's just a man, you know, he's useless," or whatever. We've got to be mindful of those sort of things too. We're all equal. One thing I noticed actually, and this is a point that I just wanted to mention to the ladies, in Europe, the ladies are doing, because of necessity, the ladies are doing a lot of service that is usually done by the man as well. Like, it's nothing for a lady to lead the kirtan for Srila Prabhupada or do an aarti to Srila Prabhupada for Guru Puja. And this was quite acceptable throughout the whole of Europe. So I spoke to Aniruddha about that during the week, and he said, yeah, we've got no objections. If any lady would like to do Guru Puja for Srila Prabhupada, or like to lead the Guru Puja prayers or something, it doesn't always have to be a man. We're all equal. So please, instead of waiting to be asked to do it, front up and say, could I do the aarti to Srila Prabhupada, or could I lead the kirtan today, please? We're all equal. So this is something that happens in Hungary and in Italy. The ladies are given that opportunity to do that. So I encourage you to actually take on that. Don't just stay as little wallflowers in the back. Come up the front and offer an aarti to Prabhupada or lead a kirtan. We're all brothers and sisters. We won't get disturbed by you chanting or offering. We should all live one, you know, be together. Okay? I just thought I'd mention that. We have to admit our shortcomings. You know, we have to admit that, yeah, I'm riddled with faults. I've got a lot that I've got to work on. And you have to know what your faults are. Analyze your faults. If you don't know what your faults are, ask your God brothers and sisters. Can you tell me what my faults are? Well, Bhakta, you know, you're like this and you're like that. Oh, thank you. I'll make a note of that. Work on it. Or ask your wife or husband. Bhakti is always very forthcoming. You've got that fault, you've got that fault, you've got that fault, you've got that fault. And by the way, you don't put your socks away. That's it, you know. So we have many, many faults. But we have to be mindful of our faults, right? So this is very important. We have to admit those. And we have to admit sometimes we're wrong. At times we can get things wrong. I know it's difficult. I know. But sometimes we have to admit, I made a mistake. And when you've made a mistake, act on it. If you've offended someone, if you've done something wrong, if you've made a mistake, act on it. Go to that person that you've made the mistake with and say, Prabhu, I've made a big mistake. I was wrong. Please accept my humble obeisances. After thinking it through. Aniruddha was mentioning that yesterday. Vaishnava, if there's a conflict, you know, you come together, it's my fault. No, it's my fault. No, it's your fault. No, it's my fault. It's my fault. Oh, let's just offer our obeisances. Why don't you go up the river start, you know, and then carry on. So this is also very good. And by practicing that, we reduce the pride within us. So although we have developed the qualities of the Vaishnava, we must be on guard. This is another point. We may be developing various qualities of a Vaishnava, like humility and all that kind of thing. So we also have to be on guard about that. Because Kali can also slip in there by saying, yes, you are really a humble person. Actually, you know, you're a real pure devotee. And then you start acting as a pure devotee when you know you're not. Right? And this, what we used to call this in the old days, is the PD syndrome. The PD syndrome. Pure devotee syndrome. Okay? Thinking that you're something that you're not. You know, sometimes you see a devotee that has that disease walking around like they're walking on the cloud, you know. I'm so pure. Whereas actually scratch the surface a little bit and there's plenty of faults there. So we have to be mindful of that too, because pride will also enter in on that. Thinking, yeah, now you're doing really well. You're a really humble guy now, Bhakta, you know. So, and then Krishna will slap you down. So we have to be mindful of that as well. The other thing is that because we're living in this material world and a lot of us are in working environments, we have a lot of this new age philosophies that a lot of our managers and different business entities are telling us, you know, that promoting pride, saying that pride is actually a really good thing to have pride, you know. Think highly of yourself. Stay in the spotlight. You know, like promote yourself to your boss. You know, like, I am such a good IT person, you know, there's no better IT person than me. And you have a lot of these new age people that are building you up. Yes, you are the center of the universe. You are great, you know, like this. So we have to be mindful of that as well and be humble. The only time that you can do that is if it's in relationship to Krishna. You can be a little bit puffed up if you, and you can really go for the for pushing to get into the spotlight if it's for Krishna service. And I'll give you an example. Recently, I got an opportunity to go to a Hindu businessmen's forum. You know, all the different businessmen from all the different Hindu groups and leaders and religious leaders were all there, and they invited the Hare Krishnas to come as well, because the High Commissioner of Australia, Indian High Commissioner, was visiting. He's a new High Commissioner, and he wanted to meet all the business people. So you get all these businessmen, and they're pushing one another out to have a shot with the High Commissioner. You know, yes, I'm with the High Commissioner. Click, click, you know, there's the press is there and everything. So I thought, yeah, I'm not missing out on this. You know, there's to be a Hare Krishna next to the High Commissioner. So I'm pushing my way in, and I'm next to the High Commissioner, and I'm so friggin' big, and then he's so small, you know. So, click, I got the shot. Guess which picture they put in the Indian news? The big Hare Krishna next to the Hindu High Commissioner. So in some occasions, yes, we can seek the spotlight if it's for service to Krishna. We have to remember that while we are captured in these material bodies, we never fully escape from the temptations of being proud. Until we're out of this material world, until we're back home, back to Godhead, there will always be these snares of Maya saying that you're proud. The last snare of Maya is thinking that you're God. You know, you'll develop so many different qualities and so many things. And Prabhupada says, the last snare of Maya is to think, I'm actually God. And how proud, how puffed up is that? That the last thing to go is to think, I'm actually God. So we have to be mindful. Now, there are different ways, as we know from the Shastras, to reduce this temptation of pride. And they are some of the points I've mentioned here. There's number one, you have to focus on your relationship with Krishna. This is fundamental. We have a loving relationship with Krishna. We have to focus on that every day. How does Krishna love me? What are Krishna's pastimes? How can I communicate with Krishna? We have to actually really focus on our sadhana, on our rounds, on worshipping Krishna. Whether that's at the temple or at home, we have to be really mindful that that is our saving grace. Whatever else, we have to have a good relationship with Krishna. We have to remember that the Lord promises that He'll carry what we lack and preserve what we have. So we may not be fully competent, but He'll carry what we lack and preserve what we have. And in the service to Him, we have to understand that Krishna will never abandon us. Even if we don't come up to the mark, even if sometimes we have difficulty, even if sometimes we realize, gee, I was really proud, I was really self-centered when I did that. If you can admit that, dust off and carry on. Krishna will never abandon you. Krishna will always encourage you. Establish safeguards around yourself. To combat pride, we have to establish safeguards. Don't become too over-enamored by material things. You know, wanting the big, big house, wanting the flashy car, wanting really fancy clothes. All these things will not allow you to develop your, to get rid of pride and self-centeredness. Prabhupada says, simple living, high thinking. So live very simply. You don't need a big fancy car. It gets from A to B with just a simple car. It has to be reliable. It has to be good. You don't need the latest Mercedes Benz. You don't need the latest this and that. Use some of that money in service to Krishna and buy a simple car. Or buy a, you don't need the big McMansions, you know, with 20 rooms and three bathrooms and this and that. Just live simply. If you can utilize it in Krishna's service, that's another thing. But I'm talking about the everyday person. We don't need to be luxuriously catered for. So that's the other thing. Live simply. Have these safeguards around you. Serve the lowly people of the world. To mitigate pride and self-centeredness, we have to serve the lowly people of the world. And that's like the Food for Life program. Again, Prabhupada is the prime example. He saw the suffering of the citizens around the Hare Krishna temple in Vrindavan. He saw how they were rummaging through the rubbish to get something to eat, and he decreed that within a 10-mile radius of any temple, no one should go hungry. So this is the Food for Life program. We can develop that, and in the future we will develop that. It is our philosophy of this kitchen religion of giving people prasadam, of helping the needy in this way, that will actually give us great stead within the community. So this is very important. We have to confide with close Krishna conscious friends as to how our progress is going. We have to confide with our close Krishna. You have to develop real close confidants that will actually tell it as it is. How am I doing, Prabhu? And who will then in turn also talk to you. You know, wow, you led a really good kirtan, or, you know, I noticed you said that to this person, perhaps you should have done something different. You know, perhaps you're a little bit sharp to this Mataji, and you know, perhaps you could just patch things up with her a bit. She feels that you're out of line a bit. So you have to be able to be humble enough to accept that. So we need a close friend that can actually tell us those things. And with the help and mercy of Krishna and Guru, we can develop all good qualities. We can develop all these good qualities. We can rid ourselves of all these unwanted things, these anartids, this pride, this self-centeredness. The Lord will implant more humble attitude in your heart as you genuinely surrender to Him. The Lord will implant you with this humble attitude and in your advancement to Krishna consciousness. So I implore you all to work on these processes as I'm working on it. We're all working on this together. We'll make great progress. Again, it's wonderful to be back here in Melbourne. We had a wonderful time overseas, but there's nothing like home. You know, this it was really coming back home to the deities here, wonderful deities of Gaunitai, Radha Balabham and Jagannathji. There's nothing, you know, they become so strong in your heart that you know, there's nothing else. All the world is a wonderful place. Like, we went all over the place. And we visited so many different... If you understand where I was coming from, before I was a devotee, I was an art student, you know. And I'd studied all these paintings and masterpieces and sculptures and everything, but I'd never ever had an opportunity to see them. So this was my opportunity to go to all the different galleries and so on. And you actually see them. Like, you see the Rembrandts, and you see the Da Vinci's and the Raphael paintings, who you've had in your mind's eye as being so beautiful. They pale into insignificance as to what we see here every day. And really, you think, yeah, they're masterpieces, wonderfully done, little bit of a devotion there. But after a while, it's like, yep, okay, yep, okay, yep, okay. And then we went to a temple, like we went to the Hungary temple, and we saw the beautiful figures of Gaunitai. And straight away you just go, wow, this is really beautiful. You saw all these other things, like we went to the Rijksmuseum in Amsterdam with Kadambakanana Maharaj. He said, Bhakta, we'll take you around to all the different places in Amsterdam. So we went to the Rijksmuseum with Maharaj. He's such a far-out character. In his saffron, you know, and we were just in our white and bhakti in a sari and stuff. We had to wait 2.5 hours to get into the Rijksmuseum because it was the opening day. It had been closed for 6 years, and on this day it was open. The Queen opened it and everything. So Maharaj said, let's go down there. So we went down there, and for 2.5 hours we were waiting to get into this museum. And he is such an incredible character. He made friends with everyone. When you're talking about someone that has no pride, someone that sees everybody on an equal platform, he is just like that. There was a Muslim lady, there was an African lady, there was a Dutch couple, there was somebody else. And he's making friends with every one of them. I mean, you know, for all intents and purposes, that what you know, this is a Hare Krishna. But it was no longer relevant whether he was a Hare Krishna or not. He was a loving person who had an interest in them, and they reciprocated. You know, it was just so wonderful to see. And then we went in and saw all these amazing works of art and everything. But in the end, it was like, ho-hum. Oh, another sculpture. Oh, another one. Another ugly face like that. Another one like that. Then we went to the Vatican. The same thing, you know, big pillars and another old man and another pope like this and another thing like that. We couldn't wait to come back here and see the gorgeous deities here, you know, and at the temples that we visited in Hungary, and at the Krishna village, you know, the Krishna village in Budapest in Hungary, where Radha and Krishna, and Radharani's got the eyelashes, you know, so beautiful. But that hits you to the core. That beauty really hits you to the core. All these other things were like, yeah, okay, we've seen it, that's it. But it was wonderful to be back here, and I honestly appreciate all the devotees and our life here. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Any comments or questions at all while I'm here? Sorry. Yes, Prabhu.
Thank you so much for this advice, Dr. Guru. I just want to sort of inquiry on part about having equal vision. So, you know, it says Pandita Samadashana, so we know that it's actually quite an elevated state of being.
Yeah.
And the 18th chapter, Krishna describes as well, you know, Brahma, Buddha, Prasanna, Rasul, Shati, and Kamshati. So the person is not, the symptom of such a person is that he's not affected by limitation or anger, which are influenced by the most of the human nature. So I don't know about everyone else, but I myself find myself still being influenced by the most of the human nature. So, because we have a conditioned nature. So my question is, understanding these points, how can one philosophically and practically apply this to our lives so that we can actually get to the stage of having equal vision?
We have to be patient. We have to be patient. It's not a process that's going to work overnight. You know, they say that about a shampoo also. What is it again, what do they say? It won't happen immediately, but it won't happen overnight, but it will happen. It's like that. We have to be very, very patient. It's a slow process. We've been in a conditioned state for hundreds and thousands of lifetimes with battling, you know. And now we've got an opportunity to rid ourselves of these material afflictions. But it won't happen overnight. But it does happen. You know, after 35 years, yeah, I'm still covered with a lot of ignorance. There's still a lot of faults there. But there's a lot of change that's happened as well, that I've recognised and other people have recognised. So it's a slow process. It will happen. And you will get little guidelines on the way and little indications as you go on your path of Krishna consciousness, where you'll realise, geez, I would never have done it this way in the past. I am changing. If you strictly stick with the sadhana, with your sadhana, and you're sincere in your relationship to Krishna, those changes will happen. Some people, the change happens very quickly. But in my case, it's just happening in a very slow pace. But you can actually understand that it is happening.
So in that regard to being patient, is it important that the conditioned nature of the mind and seed be addressed in such a way that the living entity can actually use his or her own conditioned nature to elevate himself to the process, to the point of being...
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
How does one do that?
Witness yourself. Look outside yourself. See what you're doing. Watch how you're doing things. You know, actually be introspective. Actually witness how you deal with a person, how you do. It's called standing aside from oneself. Just seeing what you do. You'll see it. Does that make sense? Yeah. Any other comments or questions at all? Thanks, Prabhu. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.